continue our study in the book of Romans, it's important that we keep the theme of the book in place throughout each chapter as we study. The theme of the book is that God has revealed the gospel that is sufficient to all men, both Jews and Gentiles, to make us righteous. Romans chapter 6, or chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. We saw in the first and second chapters that both Jews and Gentiles are indicted as being guilty of sin. In the third chapter, verse 9, and also in verse 23, we see that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We see the plan revealed whereby sin might be forgiven, and that which is necessary to take away our sin in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through verse 26. That Jesus came to be the propitiation for our sins, that God might be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Christ. We began the fourth chapter seeing the illustration of Abraham, that Abraham's faith was reckoned unto him for righteousness, that Abraham was not justified by works, and of course we want to keep that in the context of that which is being discussed. Abraham was not justified by law keeping. But rather, Abraham likewise was justified by the grace of God, and thus his faith was reckoned unto him for righteousness. David is cited as, or comes to the scene as evidence of this idea of justification by faith in Christ. David says that the only way a man can be justified is by forgiveness. In verse 7, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin." This blessing then becomes the object of the book of Romans in the keeping with the theme of the book of Romans, that man is made righteous, his sin is forgiven, not by perfectly keeping God's law, but by forgiveness through the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Now, as we studied throughout the fourth chapter, we learn that that blessing is not only for Jews, but it is also for those who are Gentiles. In the fifth chapter, in verses 1 through 11, we see the grand summation of what has been said in these first four chapters. And that is that we are justified, we are reconciled, we can be forgiven through the blood of Christ that God has so richly blessed us with. In verse 8, because he loved us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, verse 9, much more, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God. In verse 10, while we were enemies, we learned that through the death of his Son, much more shall we be reconciled. And then in verses 12 through verse 21, we see that all have sinned, and thus death passed unto all men. It's my conviction that the death that is spoken of in these verses has to do with the spiritual death, the separation from God, that is the result of all having committed sin. We see the comparison made between Adam and Christ in the next several verses, through verse 19 in particular, where we see that whatever was introduced because of sin is countered by that which is introduced by Christ. But not only countered, we see that abundance is found in verse 17. Abundance is found in verse 20 by the grace of God. Now in verse 21, he says that as sin reigned in death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We want to see what it is that constitutes death reigning. It is sin that exists in our lives that causes death to reign. But life can reign through that which Jesus has done for us. And that brings us to the first part of Romans, the sixth chapter. The writer says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Rather than for death to reign through sin." The writer says that we can be justified by the grace of God. But then does that mean that we have license to sin? Let me go back to this introductory chart. as we read in Romans, the 6th chapter, the writer is not talking about ultimate freedom to do whatever you want to do. But in Romans, the 6th chapter, he is emphasizing the freedom that we have from the bondage of sin to choose to be slaves of Christ in Christ Jesus, as is discussed in the first several verses. But the question being asked, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The writer says, God forbid. Now there are two major questions that are asked in Romans chapter 6 that set really a foundation for the contrast of death and life, or death because of sin and grace because of the sacrifice of Christ. In the 6th chapter, verse 1, we see the first question that is asked, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The second question is asked in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Notice that the dominating thought in this chapter has to do with sin versus life, or sin versus freedom from sin. And so that's the context in which we're going to study the 6th chapter. Now in the second verse of Romans chapter 6, he says, God forbid, we who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Death to sin is inconsistent with a life of sin. The writer is pointing out in the next several verses, as he includes this verse, that we cannot continue in the practice of sin because God has extended unto us grace. But the writer says that we must die to sin. In the Galatian letter, as we have noticed the consistency of the context of Romans chapter, or Romans and the book of Galatians and the book of Hebrews, and even to some degree the book of 2 Corinthians. But the writer is emphasizing that life is offered in Christ, that a system of law serves only to condemn. And we've seen that in Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. And up until chapter 5, we see reconciliation, justification that is offered in Christ. The Galatian letter in the 2nd chapter, reading beginning in verse 20. The writer says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not make void the grace of God. For if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for naught. Now someone, I'd like to volunteer to make a comparison between verses 20 and 21 of the book of Galatians chapter 2 and what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17. Who wants to tackle that? Romans 1, 16 and 17 and Galatians 2, 20 and 21. In Galatians 2, Paul says, in verse 21, for I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for naught. How can righteousness be obtained through the law? No grace being considered. Has to keep it. Has to keep it perfectly. That's what Paul said in the Galatian letter, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 10. The only way that a man can be justified by law is he has to keep it perfectly. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. But Paul acknowledges that he had not kept God's law perfectly. Then in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, how can Paul be made righteous? All right, by obedience to the gospel. Now in Romans chapter 3, and in verses 6 and 7, what provisions does the gospel provide in order that Paul might be deemed righteous? Romans 3, or Romans 4, verses 6 and 7. What provisions does the gospel provide that man might be deemed righteous. Forgiveness. That's right. Romans 3, verses 23 through 26. What makes righteousness, forgiveness possible? The blood of Christ. That's right. Now, the fact that forgiveness is possible through the blood of Christ, through the preaching of the gospel of Christ, then does that give us license to continue the practice of sin? Paul says no. Then what must be our relationship to sin? Dead to sin, verse 2. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? That's what Paul affirms in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live. What happened to the practice of sin as it pertained to Paul? He became dead to sin. Now, when did Paul become dead to sin? When he was baptized into Christ. We'll discuss that more in the Roman letter, but to emphasize the point, turn over to the Colossian letter, chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 1. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes, "If then ye were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory." Look at verse 1 more carefully. If then ye were raised together with Christ. When are we raised together with Christ? When we are baptized into Christ. Look again, Romans chapter 6, verse 2. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Now hold your finger there while you're looking at Colossians chapter 3. As you look at Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3, Paul is discussing being raised together with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, when are we raised together with Christ? When we're baptized into Christ. When we become dead to sin, he says we are like Christ, raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, and then we walk in a new life. In Colossians chapter 3, again, when do we have this new life? When we're raised together with Christ, then we have a new life in Christ Jesus. Now, one who is dead to sin is the man who has been separated from his past sins. Look again in Romans chapter 4, in verses 6 through 8, at what point are we separated from our past sins? Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Let's use Paul's language. When are we separated from our sin? All right, let's back up and use the language of Paul in Romans chapter 4. You're right, Bruce, when we have died to sin. But when is it that we have died to sin? All right, that's right too. But what is achieved when we are baptized? Romans 6 or Romans 4, 6 through 8. When we are forgiven. Do you see that? David said, "The man to whom God will not reckon sin is the man whose sins are covered." Now let's get the point. The man who has died to sin is the man who has been baptized into Christ, raised to walk a new life. What makes it a new life? He's separated from his past sins. When is he separated from his past sins? When his sins are forgiven. Now let's complete the circle, Bruce. When are his sins forgiven? When he's baptized into Christ, raised to walk this new life in Christ Jesus. That's not a hard point for us to see as we follow the context of Romans chapter 1 through chapter 6. All right, any questions or comments? Bruce?
It kind of puts everything practical. Because, before you didn't have it, so you were in your sin, you were dead.
That's right. Dead in sin. But Paul is talking about being dead from sin. All right? When are we dead to sin, I guess would be the expression, not dead in sin. When do we become dead to sin? All right, that's right. Now, this death to sin begins to be unfolded as we continue in the third chapter, through our third verse, through the seventh verse. Look carefully at your text. He says, "Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin." Now, this theme of justification is the theme that we've been discussing all the way from the third chapter. You'll notice in the third chapter, God sent his Son, verse 26, that God might be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Christ. In the fourth chapter, in verse 25, he sent his Son that we might be, or that he might be delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Then you'll notice in the 12th chapter, as the writer talks about the sacrifice of Christ in order that the many might be justified, verse 6, and you'll see that thought again in chapter 6, the thought of justification. Now, we need to understand what justification is. How is it defined? All right, made right, made free. I'm fishing for something, can you tell, Terry? To be declared not guilty or acquitted. That's what the word justification means. And how can we be justified? The death of Christ was necessary that God might be just, but also that the grace of God might be extended so that God might justify or extend justification to those who have committed sin. Now, who does that include? All of us. Jews and Gentiles, Paul declared in the third chapter, verse 9, and in verse 23. So Paul argues that if they knew that they were baptized into the death of Christ, then they should also know that they could not continue the practice of sin. They had died to sin. Now, to be baptized into Christ is to enjoy all spiritual blessings that are obtained by the death of Christ. Now, let's underscore in our mind, from Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through verse 26, what is it that Christ obtained through his death? What did he obtain through his death? All right, he became a propitiation that was demanded by the justice of God, that God might extend justification. Christ satisfied, if we might use that word, he satisfied the wrath of God that would be upon the sinner in that he allowed his Son to come in order that he might die for our sins. Verse 8 of chapter 5. Now look carefully at those passages. Now these in the Roman letter who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, that they might appropriate unto themselves everything that his death accomplished. Now, that becomes important. You remember the analogy that we used as we closed our study last Lord's Day morning about the box of duds and trying to get your clothes clean. And you go to the store and you buy a box of detergent You don't put your clothes in the box of detergent, but you put your clothes in water. The water alone does not get your clothes clean. The detergent in and of itself does not get your clothes clean. But when you put the cleansing agent into the water, you put your clothes in the water where the cleansing agent is, and you get your clothes clean. Now the blood of Christ is extended to everybody, isn't it? In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we learn that Christ tasted death for every man. That's not debatable. He tasted death for every man. His blood is shed to benefit everybody. But yet we learn in Matthew the 7th chapter and in verses 13 and 14 that there are the multitudes that are going to be lost, going to enter in that broad gate that leads unto destruction. Now if Christ shed His blood for everybody, but yet we learn that the multitudes are lost, how do we reconcile that? David? Well, that's true. But the blood of Christ being shed for everybody, not everybody is saved. How do we reconcile that? Terry, David, and Bruce.
Let me use an illustration from municipal finance.
All right. That's right. That's the word I'm looking for. Appropriate it. That's right. On God's terms.
That's why I emphasized in the example that I used, under the law.
All right.
On God's terms.
All right. All right. David and Bruce, Larry and Richard. All right, Larry? No, David and Bruce and Richard. Well, let's not lose the thought. Our question is, Christ died for everybody, but yet everybody is not saved. His blood is extended to everybody. in order that justification might take place. But not everybody's justified. David?
Death reigning.
That's right.
You have to be there.
That's right.
If you're not there, you can't get the blood. That's what the gospel says.
And that's what Paul is writing in Romans, the 6th chapter. We're baptized into his death. We want to talk about that more.
It becomes more clear when you look at passages like this in context with the whole Bible. You look at the study of types and shadows. This is not a new concept. God leveraged water to save Noah and his family, but they had to have faith to build the ark. For those that didn't have faith, that water represented the death. The crossing of the Red Sea, they had to have faith to walk across that. The water represented their life. Naaman, the water, he had to go into that water to come in contact with it to cleanse his leprosy. So all those things, which shouldn't surprise us, that God would want us to come into contact with this water, and if we don't, then we're outside of that saving that comes through that water.
That's right. John 9, the blind man. This becomes a consistent dividing line. And let's not lose sight of that. John? Well, that's right. I want us to look at this little word, into. We're baptized, verse 3, into Christ Jesus. We're baptized into his death. As we are baptized into his death, we reap the benefits of his blood. We appropriate the blood of Christ to our sins to wash them away. Now, the design of water baptism regarding sin, the sinner rather, and Christ. Let's look at this carefully. We see that we are baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Paul so declared it as the same writer discusses the promise, and let me underscore the promise of forgiveness, that in thee, as he spoke to Abraham, all families of the earth shall be blessed. Quoted in this very context of Galatians chapter 3, you will see it in verse 16. As he speaks concerning the promise of forgiveness, the blessing that would come upon all families of the earth. You'll see in verse 26, the writer says, "For ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female. For ye are all one man in Christ Jesus, and if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise." Now, as Paul writes concerning the promise, what was it? The seed promise, salvation in Christ Jesus. But yet this promise is extended in Christ Jesus. We see that in Romans chapter 6. You were baptized into Christ Jesus. You were baptized into his death. Paul says in verses 26 and 27 that those who are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus are those who were baptized into Christ. Now, interestingly enough, in Romans chapter 6, we're going to note the Greek word gar that is sometimes translated for. And the Greek word gar simply means because of or giving a reason for. Now, as the Apostle Paul writes in the Galatian letter, in the third chapter, in verse 27, he says, "For, or gar, the reason is that as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." What is he giving a reason for? Look at verse 26. "For ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Why are you a son of God through faith in Christ? Because you were baptized into Christ. If you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into His death. You appropriate the cleansing agent, the blood of Christ, to yourself in the forgiveness of your sin. And if you do that, then Paul says you put on Christ. And if you put on Christ, then you become an heir according to promise. You receive the forgiveness of your sins. Look further. The design of water baptism regarding the sinner and Christ. In the Ephesian letter, again, Paul the writer. In the Ephesian letter, chapter 1, verse 3. This expression, in Christ, baptized into Christ. Paul says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now just ask yourself the question, where are all spiritual blessings? In Christ. Ken?
You know, the Scriptures teach us that all Scriptures are necessary for one's salvation. We need to take the totality of the Scripture to understand what God requires. Therefore, not baptism alone is why people are going to be lost in the coming to the blood. The Bible teaches us that the belief part, that people won't believe, therefore they will not reach the blood of Christ. The confession that they will not make, therefore they will not meet the blood of Christ. The repentance, therefore they will not meet the blood of Christ. The baptism and the living of a faithful life, to continually to have that blood of Christ behind you. We could get into the water all we want, but if we don't have the repentance to turn away from, we just went in there and got wet.
That's right.
So a lot of times the reason why we stress baptism is because mainly the world doesn't believe that.
All right.
And that's why we stress baptism a lot, but these individuals need to understand that it will take a belief, a confession, a repentance, and a baptism, and a faithful life, because John says then it's the blood of Christ walking in the light that continues to cleanse you. And unless you have them things that John said as a contract, you're lost.
That's right.
That's the contract. That's the requirement.
That's right. I like to use the illustration, perhaps it's oversimplified, as we come to this church building. Getting in your car. All of us did that, didn't we? Why did you get in your car? Did you not see that that was necessary to coming into the building? Isn't that where you came? Well, when you got on the highway, what'd you do that for? Wasn't that necessary to coming into the building? When you parked in the parking lot, what was the purpose of that? Didn't you see that as a step in coming into the building? But beloved, when did you come into the building? When you stepped across the threshold out there. That's when you came into the building. All these other steps, when we talk about faith, repentance, confession, as necessary as they are, you come into Christ when you appropriate the blood of Christ to you. And when do you do that? When you're baptized into Christ. Now, that's the important thing that Paul is trying to get them to see in this passage. You are baptized into Christ. You are baptized into His death. And because you've done that, that doesn't give you license to sin. If you want to continue to appropriate the blood of Christ to you, Kim, what must you do? Continue to walk in the light. And then you have this avenue of Christ as a propitiation. 1 John chapter 2, as he continues into verses 1 and 2, you have a propitiation for your sins. Any other questions or comments? David?
Ha, ha, ha.
an optional extra.
And so, you know, that's the way they do it. But the argument for that was, I saw these two guys talk about that. The argument for that is, when New Testament time, there was no unbaptized believers. That's what they were going to do. Unbaptized believers, then there was an optional extra.
Well, when we take the position, there are no unbaptized believers. We can see that before Jesus died, there were those who believed on him, but they... All right. Well, there's some arguments to be made on that behalf. Yeah.
This point was that people who believed after the church was set up, people who believed were baptized.
Yeah. All right. I never did either. An optional extra. That's just the language of Ashdod. John?
We were told that there were some of the Pharisees who believed but weren't baptized.
John 12:42-43. However, that was before the command of baptism was given in the Great Commission. All right. I see. Now that makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, again, he's using the language of Ashdod. But what we see in this passage is all spiritual blessings are found in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 3. What does that include? Does it include redemption? Look at the text, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Where is God's grace? Does everybody enjoy the grace of God? Not everybody does. In chapter 5 of the book of Romans, verse 1, he says, being therefore justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also had our access by faith into this grace. What does that say about the unbeliever? He doesn't have access to God's grace. But redemption, according to God's grace, verse 7, is found in Christ. Now, how do we get into Christ? Paul says we're baptized into Christ. Look again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Does not Paul make redemption and forgiveness equivalent? Yes. Redemption and forgiveness in this passage are made equivalent. Look at verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1. In whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. What is it that God foreordained? Now let's not get balled up on that. What is it that God foreordained? That all spiritual blessings are in Christ. All spiritual blessings are found in this relationship. When did God foreordain that? Before the foundation of the world. That all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. What else does that include? Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. All right, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what Paul's declaring to these in the Roman letter? Look again at chapter 6, verse 4. We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Where is this new life? In Christ Jesus. Look further, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. Terry, you have that? If you would, please read that for me. Who has it? Bruce? All right, what else is found in Christ? Salvation is in Christ. Let's look again. Turn back to the Roman letter, chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as he's talking about in the Roman letter, justification by perfect works, by law keeping, or justification by grace, by faith in Christ Jesus, in the 8th chapter and in verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why not? All right, here are some that are no longer walking after the flesh. They're walking after the Spirit. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. What happened to the sins that condemn us? They were forgiven. When were they forgiven? Right, when we were baptized into Christ. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Let's look one more time. In 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In verses 11 and 12. John writes, and the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son hath not the life. What's Paul talking about in our text? Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6. He's talking about life and death, isn't he? Spiritual life and spiritual death being contrasted. John says that if you want to have eternal life, where is it offered? In Christ Jesus. Do you see that? I believe that's a compelling argument. Paul is writing to these in the Roman letter to help them to see that because they have been baptized into Christ, they have been baptized into His death. And as they have been baptized into His death, they are raised to walk a new life, which means you do not have license to commit sin. Sin cannot dominate or reign in your life. Ken?
Is there another New Testament passage that tells us any other way that we can get in Christ outside baptism?
No, sir.
Thank you.
No, sir. Bruce?
It's amazing where you have others that teach you that you believe that and you accept Christ, that you're saved, that you're going to save you, but then later on, then they baptize you, which takes everything totally out of context.
All right. So this is how we come through the threshold, as it were. This is how we appropriate unto the blood, or unto ourselves, the blood of Christ. Now let's underscore one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul writes, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Now let's fit that into our study of the book of Romans with the theme of the book of Romans. Romans 1, 16 and 17. What was it Paul said? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why not? It's the power of salvation. To whom? Jew first and also to the Greek. Look again, if you will, in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, wherefore if any man, who's that include? Jew and Greek. Underscore that word if. Does that mean you must be in Christ? Or do you have a choice? You have a choice. Romans 6, verses 16 and 17. We're going to discuss that in some detail. The choice that you have. He says, know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, you choose whether you're the servant of sin unto death, or you're the servant of obedience unto righteousness. Again, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, where all these spiritual blessings are found, he says he is a new creature. What was it Paul said in Romans 6? You are raised to walk a new life. What does that mean your relationship now is to sin? Sin can no longer have dominion over you. Sin does not reign in your life. Why not? Because you chose to become the servant of someone else. You are no longer the servant of sin, but you've chosen to become the servant of righteousness. David?
And that choice is, like you said, it's a choice to serve Satan or to serve Christ. We don't have a choice once we choose salvation. We don't have a choice on how we're going to be saved. That's what the Jews are trying to do here. You know, as a teacher, that's what people today are trying to do. We have a choice to live in sin or live in grace, but we don't have a choice in how we get that grace.
That's right. God legislated the terms, as Terry pointed out, how we appropriate the grace of God manifested in the blood of Christ. Let's look one more time. Paul said we are baptized into the death of Christ. It's in the death of Christ that we come in contact with His blood. That's where He shed His death. That's where we obtain the benefits of His death. Back up, if you will, in the Roman letter. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. It says, but God commendeth His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. I want you to notice the language that Paul uses. Does not Paul equate in verses 9 and 10 the blood of Christ with the death of Christ? We're justified by His blood. He says we are justified by His death. When we are baptized into His death, that's where we come in contact with His blood. Justification, you see. Saved from the wrath of God, verse 9 of chapter 5. Reconciled to God by His blood. Do we not see the benefits then of being baptized into His death? We appropriate the blood of Christ where we can be justified by His blood, saved from the wrath of God by His death, reconciled to God, verse 10. By His life, raised to walk a new life. Let's look one more time. In Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through verse 7, we were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. We're baptized into Christ, baptized into His death. The body of sin done away, dead to sin, alive unto God, died with Christ, baptized into His death, raised to walk a new life. Now, we're going to have to go back to that chart, as you can well see, and talk about that some more next Lord's Day morning.